Yeah, Tony, thanks again. I know you've got an awfully busy schedule, but we appreciate it. Our audience and our fans down here appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
Glad to do it, Coach.
All right, let me get right to it, Tony. My goodness, I'll be honest with you. I never thought I would see it. But remember the movie, The Perfect Storm, where the fishing boat went down and the perfect
Right.
storm formed out in the North Atlantic with the winds were just right, the cold front, warm front met, and the tides and all that. It all came together, and the perfect storm happened and bound with the boat. To me, that's a little like what's happening in college football right now with the NIL, the transfer portal being that many kids in the transfer portal. Heck, used to a one person transferring was a huge story. And then the association with semi-association, I guess, with what many consider to be gambling, DraftKings and whatever. And then add to it now the biggest shakeup, which I think is good for the SEC. I'm not saying this is bad, Oklahoma and Texas coming this way. And that's going to create a ripple effect that's going to be as big as any tidal wave coming. I'm telling you, I really think that's going to create some big things going on. But I want to get your opinion. You, above all, would love to have your opinion. Let's start. There's so many things there, but let's start with the NIL and what you think that's going to do, how that's going to impact college football.
Coach, I think, first of all, NIL is something that was going to happen, and the courts, the Supreme Court sort of reemphasized that when they ruled earlier this year. Basically, the courts told the NCAA that their financial model really violated antitrust law. And I think from that point on, everybody understood that changes were going to have to be made. Now, if you don't want to flat just pay players, and that may eventually happen someday, then you have to, the courts are telling us, you have to let them go into the open marketplace and see if anybody has any interest in their name and their image and likeness. So it was going to happen no matter what. I believe, Coach, when all is said and done, it's a big story now, but so, I would say 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, we're not going to talk about it much anymore because it'll be ingrained in the culture. So, is it going to change some things? Of course it will. Of course it will. But as far as the game itself, I don't think it has that big of an impact. We'll see.
Yeah, that's interesting, Tony. Certainly coming from you, but everybody's got a little different look at it. I don't think college football. I think pure amateurism was the beck and call of college athletics in general. And back when in the Ivy League, when the whether it was the guys from old Yale wanted to go see how they fared against the boys from Princeton or wherever, and they met in a lot somewhere and played football. I don't think it was ever intended to be a revenue-producing instrument for players. I just don't. I think it was meant to be a pure amateur sport, and I just hate to see it. To me, it's a little pollution. I shouldn't probably be that way, and I don't like the way some coaches are. This coach talk about, well, what? How can we prevent them doing what they want to do in their free time? And I agree with that. I think they should be able to, do certain things with their free time. But to say that that's an excuse for some of the things that they're going to be doing, which involves agents, and if you don't think agents and lawyers are going to get involved in this, they are. But anyway, I saw a high school kid had already taken an agent. This was last week, maybe I saw on the internet. But having talked about that, how do you think this portal of the many, many transfers they're talking about with the portal, how do you think that affects the sport that we've known as college football.
Well, Coach, I think it already has changed and is going to change really the way that schools recruit. It's going to change the fundamental structure of recruiting, because think about this. Starting next year, players will have until May 1st, to declare whether or not they're going to enter the transfer portal. But can you imagine being a head coach and you losing 3 or 4 or 5 players as late as May 1st? And in terms of your roster management and putting your team together, it's going to make it extremely difficult. But again, here was another situation where the courts are telling us, you know, the coaches can leave whenever they want. And so the players need the same kind of freedom. It's going to be, I think, of all the issues that we're facing, the transfer portal is the one that will impact the game the most, because you can lose players as late as May 1st, and that could completely change your team.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. Just to have the ability to enter into this transfer portal, and the numbers of kids that are in there is just astounding. I mean, I won't even repeat a number that I heard, because I think it's too far-fetched. That number has to be wrong. Maybe not. I don't know. All right, let's jump to Oklahoma and Texas. Tony, this is a huge story, and I think it's going to the impact of that is going to rattle around in college football here for a while. There are going to be some other big moves, I predict, and I'm not in the prediction business, but I do predict that's going to happen.
Well, I don't think there's any question that Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12 and going to the SEC is going to cause a ripple effect throughout college athletics. The first thing, first of all, it's going to make the SEC, has always been the number one conference. It'll solidify that and increase their television revenues, what their package is worth, significantly. So that's number one. Number two, it impacts the very survival of the Big 12. The Big 12 just basically lost its two anchors that support its operation. So the question now becomes, what does the Big 12 do? Do they go raid another conference, maybe a conference that's in the Group of Five, like the American Athletic Conference? What do they do in order to survive? And no question, they're going to be changed. And if they add teams and survive, their television revenue will significantly drop. Because of that, Texas and Oklahoma, their television package is simply not worth as much money, regardless of who they put in there. So that's number one, the positive impact on the SEC and the negative impact on the Big 12. And then after that, what does the Big 10 do? Do they feel the need? What does the ACC do? What does the Pac-12 do? Do they have to expand, or can they stay where they are? And those are the questions we don't have the answers to yet.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, this also is going to change. There's going to be certain conferences feeding on other conferences now for what they have that's attractive. There are not that many attractive things out there right now. There's Notre Dame.
Right.
Somebody said BYU. I don't think BYU is all that attractive just because of where they're located. But they could be, I guess, with some conference. But here's what I think is going to happen that may really, really impact the game. What if the SEC, they bring in Oklahoma and Texas? There are really only about 3 or 4 teams, Tony, in the ACC that are truly attractive. Who wants Boston College and some of that, Syracuse, and, you know, but Clemson, Florida State, maybe Miami, and maybe North Carolina. But who's to say that you don't see the ACC, not the ACC as a whole, because I don't think they want all those teams, but who's to say they won't cherry pick a conference like the ACC, and that'll be the end of the ACC. Like I'd like the Big 12 right now, or the Oklahoma Texas conference. They left. I don't. There's no way they can survive with the teams they've got left, and who's going to pick them up? Not all of them, that's for sure. There may be one or two that will tag on somewhere, but not all those teams are going to be picked up.
Well, that is the big question, Coach, moving forward. Is this, if the SEC, does it stop for the SEC at Texas and Oklahoma, or are they thinking even bigger? And that's something that we don't know at this point. Could the SEC have thoughts of going to some big mega conference with more than 20 teams? And, could there be mergers within conference? Could the Big Ten and the Pac-12 sort of merge and form one super conference? Could the SEC and the ACC merge and form a super conference? So that's what we don't know. We don't know if this is it, or it is just part of something much, much bigger.
Well, that's true. I think we can realistically look at the football leagues or conferences right now, and understand that probably only four, realistically speaking, only four conferences that would be considered power conferences, and that's SEC, the Pac-12, Big Ten, and the ACC. And I think what could happen there is you could see more consolidation. And I think, like Paul Feinbaum has said for a long time, that he feels like there will be major conferences, and the NCAA will not be in existence. And that certainly could be a result of this.
Well, there's no question that when you Commissioner Sankey of the SEC has made it clear that he's really not happy with the enforcement structure of the NCAA. And moving forward, it could be that these super conferences would just determine their own rules. And when it comes to scholarship limits and enforcement of rules and things of that nature, maybe you need to shrink it down instead of having this massive NCAA structure to enforce rules. So that's why this is a brave new world. There's all kinds of things that could happen. But I think once Texas and Oklahoma made it clear that they were leaving, and that's what they did. They let the SEC know they were leaving. And then once the Big 12 and Oklahoma, once the Texas and Oklahoma made that decision to leave, that put this whole chain of events into motion.
Yeah. Well, I have two things I really need to ask you here quickly, and I apologize for keeping you so long, Tony. But what is your assessment? I had this question from someone who asked me to pose this question to you. How do you rate the SEC quarterbacks at this point, the ones coming back?
Well, that's the thing. We don't have that many coming back. I would say in terms of pure arm talent, you have to like Matt Corral at Ole Miss. I think he is in that particular offense. He sort of shines. I like JT Daniels at Georgia a whole lot. He's a guy at the end of last year, you could tell that Georgia was a much, much different football team than they were when he was not the quarterback. And after that, it's sort of up in the air. There are not that many quarterbacks coming back, but I would say, quite honestly, Florida will have a new quarterback, Kentucky will have a new quarterback. Connor Bazelak, the kid at Missouri, is going to be a star in this league. Tennessee will have a new quarterback. Alabama will have a new quarterback. Arkansas will have a new quarterback. Bo Nix at Auburn is a talented quarterback who needs to be more consistent. So I would say those three right there Matt Corral at Ole Miss, JT Daniels at Georgia, and Connor Baselak of Missouri. I would say those are your three best quarterbacks returning this year.
Very, very interesting. Tony, I appreciate very much your time, my friend, and would like to get with you again. I know you're busy. It's going to be when things get cranked up a little, if we could arrange a time
okay,
for you to come back, we would appreciate it.
All right, that sounds good. It's always good to be with you.